The West Michigan Opera Project is the brainchild of Sarah Fossey. She envisioned a company of singers and players who would rehearse a single opera and then take the same opera to various places in West Michigan and call it a season. Tonight, the West Michigan Opera Project is in Kalamazoo to perform The Marriage of Figaro for free downtown at First Presbyterian Church at 7:30 p.m. I'm here with Sarah Fossey, soprano Jessica Coe, and baritone Trent Broussard. Sarah, how did this all begin?
Well, I actually blame my husband for this idea because I was getting ready to put on another recital, and he thought it would be a lot more fun if I put together scenes of an opera. And as I was thinking about that, I had always wanted to perform Puccini's Suor Angelica. And so I decided that that's what I would do in replacement of a recital. And as I asked different friends and colleagues around West Michigan if they wanted to partake in this, they were all very excited. And one of the singers actually told me that she had been carrying the score around for 9 years, waiting to get a chance to be the Principessa. So everyone was very excited. It had an incredible amount of energy and support behind it. And our first season, we were able to perform in three different venues across West Michigan. So we performed at St. Andrew's Cathedral in downtown Grand Rapids. We also performed at First Presbyterian in Grand Haven. And then we brought the show to Southwest Michigan College and collaborated with the students there. They were able to work on the lighting and help us with the set, and they also ran the surtitles for us. So it was a great collaboration with the college. And then as things progressed, I started thinking, how can we spread opera throughout West Michigan and be effective not only to new aspiring singers, but also to people who've never experienced opera before? So the next season, which is this season that we are currently in, is The Marriage of Figaro, and it's one of the most performed operas of all time. It's very well known. It's got a lot of catchy tunes, and I thought that would be a perfect way to invite people who had never been to an opera to expose them to this beautiful work. I also know that as an opera lover myself, I never tire of this piece. And there's so many beautiful sections in it. A lot of times in the movies, you'll hear the letter duet, like in Shawshank Redemption. And so there's a lot of connections into other areas that cross over, like into the movies, where people will recognize some of these arias and some of the music that's in the performance. So that way, people who know the music and love the music will also enjoy coming and being part of this as well.
Maybe it's just me, but I think of opera as one of the least wieldy art forms to be moving around and making kind of guerrilla performances out of. I think of giant sets and, you know, elaborate costuming, and it just takes months and months and months to prepare and put on one performance of an opera.
Yep.
How true is that? And what have you learned about actually the sort of agility and the adaptability of an opera?
Yeah, that is very true. Usually as performers, we only get one shot at it. We have one weekend where we get to perform after a year or more of preparation. So this way, it allows the singers to have, we've got eight shots at it this season. And it's amazing to me how it grows, how the characters evolve, and how the singers get more and more comfortable in their role. Also, our set is completely transportable. It can fit into a venue that's 12 feet wide up to 40 feet wide. It's all put into sections, and they are put together with, what do you call those, Trent? Those hinges? We've got hinges that, so it can unfold and it can shrink and grow, and it's just a lot of fun to be able to have a set that's so transportable.
Have you been in the traditionally rehearsed and performed productions of operas yourself?
Yes, yeah.
Tell me a little about your singing background.
Well, I started studying voice in high school, and then I majored in vocal performance and education in college. After college, I did an apprenticeship in Colorado with the opera company there, and then I moved to New York and studied at Manhattan School of Music. And from there, I went to Arizona where I taught and continued singing. Then I moved back to West Michigan after I found out I was pregnant with twins, and I had already adopted two children, and I needed to be back by family to help me with my little village. So after I moved back, I decided I wanted something new. I love education. I love teaching music, but this just really seemed like there was a real niche. And the community needed something like this, as well as the singers. We have so many talented and professional singers in West Michigan that don't have many performance opportunities to do this kind of work. So I'm very proud of the fact that all of the singers in our organization are local.
You also have free admission to all of these opera events. Tell me the thinking behind that.
When I first formed the board, we were talking about what our mission was to be, and the words came to my head, opera for all. We really wanted to make sure that we could reach out into communities, no matter what the social economical background, no matter the education level. We wanted to be able to provide opera for all and give everyone an experience at this art form. So many times, opera is considered this elitist form of entertainment, and we really want to break that stigma, because all opera really is a really great story that's set to fantastic music and great acting, and we want to share that.
Is there a website where people can learn about upcoming performances?
Yes. Our website is West Michigan Opera Project. .com.
Okay. Well, let's again remind people that this concert, this performance of The Marriage of Figaro, takes place tonight at First Presbyterian Church. It's one of the Art Hop events. You partnered with the Arts Council of Greater Kalamazoo in presenting this. So that's at 7:30 p.m.
Yep, and we also have a wedding cake reception afterwards. So after you're journeying through the city and you want a sweet treat after the opera, we hope you stick around and meet the artists and have a nice reception with us.
Yeah, we shouldn't give too much away, but this opera does have a happy ending.
Yes, indeed it does.
Well, I'd really like to talk with some of the other performers that are joining us here today. Trent Broussard. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Tell me about your background as a singer.
I studied music education in college, decided that I didn't want to be a teacher, and spent the last 25 years in church music, been involved in lots of choruses, choral opportunities. I hadn't really gotten involved in opera until about 3 years ago, when I sang in an opera chorus and found that is really exciting.
What production was that?
That was Carmen.
Was that in West Michigan?
Yes, that was with Opera Grand Rapids. And it was really exciting to do, and I loved it. And when it was done, I was really down. we had to stop. We'd been making this wonderful music for weeks and weeks, and then it was over. And so about a year ago, when Sarah approached me about singing the role of Figaro, I'd never done a lead role and never done much more than a chorus. And so it was a bit daunting task, but I was very excited to participate.
Wow. Tell me about the process of learning and studying the role and becoming an actor.
The process was long. It was very daunting. I remember our very first rehearsal we went to, we all sat around with our scores, and everyone, it seemed, was reading their lines perfectly, and I'm trying to sight read my score and learn the Italian at the same time, and I felt like a miserable failure. But no one told me I was a miserable failure. In fact, they said, "Oh, you're doing great. It's going to be wonderful." And that was about 9 months ago. And in the process of time, just learning and listening, learning the language, learning the story, learning the character, slowly the whole process just came together. And one day I put away my score and started singing. That was a terrifying day, but it's been very fun since.
Well, what gave you such confidence in Trent as a brand new performer of opera?
His voice, he's incredibly talented. And just his whole persona, I look at him and I see Figaro. He is
typecasting.
Yeah, definitely. He's so friendly and outgoing and just has such a positive outlook on life and a voice that's just phenomenal.
Trent, remind us who this Figaro character is.
Figaro is he's a servant. He works for the Count, and he is pretty much loves life, and he is madly in love with Susanna, who is another servant who works for the Countess, and they are so ready to be married, and Figaro just can't wait to make Susanna his bride.
We have a chance here to listen to part of a production that was recorded earlier this season in Grand Rapids at Aquinas College. This is an aria called Non più andrai.
Non più andrai. Oh, in this aria, there's a character, Cherubino, who is, the Count has gotten mad at Cherubino for loving too many ladies and sending him into the military. And Figaro is coming in and basically telling Cherubino how miserable his life is going to be. And he's mocking him. It's kind of fun.
Trent Broussard as Figaro in the West Michigan Opera Project. In Kalamazoo tonight at First Presbyterian Church, here I have Trent Broussard in the studio along with soprano Jessica Coe and the executive director of West Michigan Opera Project, Sarah Fossey, who came up with the idea for this. It's now in its second season of 8 performances per season of a single opera, which travels around the state so people have a chance to hear it. The slogan is Opera for All. So, Trent, you sound like you're having a very good time.
It has been a delight to learn the role, to work with such incredibly talented people, and just to get to know a group of musicians and colleagues who are so encouraging. We have a wonderful time.
One of the things I noticed on the video that I can't show you on the radio is a very clever storytelling device that helps keep everybody on the same page. And it's the use of, what would I call them?
Cue cards.
Cue cards.
Cue cards during the performance. Whose idea was this?
Well, I had the idea during the overture to welcome each cast member in so that the audience will know who these characters are. Without that, it's kind of hard for an audience, unless they know the story really well, to know what is actually going on. So during the overture, we introduce each character, and our music teacher, Basilio, he's all about gossip and celebrity and that sort of thing. So he's the one with the cue cards, and he lets the audience know what's going on and how the characters are feeling. We also use it during a mannequin scene. The opera is about 4 hours long, so we cut half of it out so that we can run it within 2 hours. And so one of the major cuts is when Figaro is looking for his parents because he needs money to pay back a loan. And the cue cards cut a large section of music down into a very short time, and it makes it very comedic, too. So the stage director's the one that came up with the cards to supplement my original ideas with the mannequin scene and the introductions during the overture.
And speaking of the music director and musicians, I hear piano and a melody instrument.
Yep, the clarinet.
That's your entire band.
And a cello.
And a cello.
Yep.
So we have a trio as an orchestra.
Yep, and it goes very well for this opera.
Have they been with the production the entire time?
Yes, they have.
And who are they?
On cello is Stacy Bosman Tanner, and she plays with the Grand Rapids Symphony. She also is a West Michigan native. And we have David Yandel on clarinet, who also is a Grand Rapids Symphony player, and Dr. Kenneth Boss on piano.
Fantastic. They sound really, they're holding up a lot of parts.
They sure are.
Very, very
and
well.
And our music director actually is the one that arranged the music. He took the entire opera and brought it down into that trio. So Brendan Hollins has done a fantastic job with that for us.
I would like to talk to soprano Jessica Coe, who has played the role of Susanna for this season of the West Michigan Opera Project. Nice to have you here, too.
Thank you so much for having us.
Jessica, tell me about your past as a voice performer.
Well, I grew up in Grand Rapids as a pianist mainly, and I sang in choruses throughout high school, but I never saw myself as a professional singer or as an opera singer in general. I'm sort of a reluctant lover of opera. I went to school in Chicago at DePaul University for undergrad, and while I was there, opera kind of won me over. So I finished with a degree in voice, and I stuck around the city for a couple years, kind of figuring out what to do with my degree, kind of got into teaching and realized that to advance in that career, I would need a master's. So I went back to get a master's, and after that, returned to West Michigan. And this experience has been a blessing because one of the hardest things to do as a musician when you move is to find your new network of people. So this is helped me to meet fellow singers and other musicians to network
Did you audition or were you recruited?
I was recruited, thankfully. Nicholas Loren is our vocal mentor for this production and for the West Michigan Opera Project, and I auditioned for his vocal competition. And when he heard me, he recommended me. He thought that my voice would be a good fit for Susanna. And I'm very grateful for that because I'd been learning the role on my own for about 8 years, just hoping someday to have the opportunity to sing it.
I have heard that this role, Susanna, in The Marriage of Figaro, is really one of the most fabulous roles in all of opera. Would you tell me about what makes that true?
Well, I certainly think it's true. I think Susanna is a character that we can all relate to. I don't want to say she's simple because she's very clever, but what she wants out of life is very simple, and she just wants to be married to Figaro. And when the Count gets in the way to foil that plan, she takes matters into her own hand, and with the Countess, sort of shames the Count into behaving again. And I think that because of her cleverness and her humor and her outlook on life, that she is extremely fun to play.
How many times have you played her at this point?
I've sung 3 performances, and I have 2 remaining. But I think because of the energy in her vocal line, that it's fun to sing vocally. And a lot of times there's so much going on beneath the surface that there's so much nuance to discover in singing all of the movements, actually. But in the aria, in the duet, it seems like every time I sing it, I discover some different detail to bring out. And I think that's what makes it so fun.
Is it also how other characters are interacting with you on a given performance?
Absolutely. And it's been really fun to work with Trent. He is the epitome of Figaro. He's very funny, energetic. He takes up the whole stage when he sings. So I've learned a lot just from playing off of that energy and sort of absorbing it and giving it back.
What are some things that after a show people come up and talk to you about? Sarah?
A lot of people tell me how moving it was for them to hear live music, and that they, when I sing my arias, that they feel a tangible something in the air. It's much different than listening to recorded music or listening to people sing through microphones. And I think that strikes me every time someone says that to me, because then I feel that I've really reached the audience, not just for, like, at an emotional level, you know? And I really like it when students come up after a performance and tell me how excited they are about music and how they like to sing too. And it's fun to share what it means to be a singer and the importance of our responsibility of communicating what the composer intended.
Do you see a lot of young people at these performances?
We do. Yeah, actually, at our last performance in Grand Haven at First Presbyterian, one of the choir directors who is a member at that church had his whole middle school choir come. And so there were 70 middle schoolers in the audience, and it was just, you know, first-time opera goer, and just the excitement that they brought in the audience. You know, we feel that on stage as singers. We can feel their excitement.
You're playing the Countess.
Yes.
She has a sort of nobility or dignity to her, even though she's the one who is being wronged.
Yeah.
In this opera. And that, again, is one of the highlights of all opera when she sings one of her... Which song is that?
Dove Sono.
Dove Sono, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that sort of a dream role for you, too?
Yes, it has been a dream role for quite a while. What I love about that aria in particular is, to me, that's the turning point for her. At the beginning of the opera, she's very disappointed and feeling so rejected by her husband, and just the sadness that she's burdened with. And then during that aria, to me, is when she decides that it doesn't need to be that way. She can take matters into her own hands, and she can get the help of Susanna, her servant, and they can collaborate together and teach the Count a lesson. So she gets empowerment during that aria, and I love to sing it because it's a very powerful aria too.
Well, I also wanted to highlight one of Susanna's arias, De Viene something, something, something.
De Viene non tardar.
Thank you. Tell me about this moment.
This is a really fun moment in the opera, and this is actually Susanna's only aria. Well, there is, in this production, it's her only aria. There's another aria that she sings in full productions that isn't quite as memorable, but this comes all the way at the end of the opera. And at this point, the Countess and Susanna have set the stage to play a trick on the Count, who has his eyes on Susanna. Our plan is to tell the Count to meet Susanna in the garden, but send the Countess instead, so that the Count thinks he's going to be meeting Susanna for a romantic rendezvous, but instead the Countess will show up. In this scene,
in disguise,
yes,
wearing her cloak.
In this scene, I've realized that Figaro is also in the garden, and he thinks that I'm actually going to meet the Count and that I'm going to be unfaithful to him. So I decide I'm going to teach him a lesson. And in this aria, I'm singing about the joy of love, and I'm just singing about how beautiful everything is and how I can't wait to have my romantic moment with the Count. So I'm basically singing a love song to the Count, but knowing that Figaro is listening as sort of a joke on him. But at some point during the aria, I think that it really becomes a sincere song of love to Figaro.
Jessica Coe as Susanna in the West Michigan Opera Project, which brings The Marriage of Figaro to the First Presbyterian Church of Kalamazoo tonight in a free performance at 7:30 p.m. as part of the Downtown Art Hop. It's a two-hour production. No problem following the story. There are super titles as well as cue cards used during the performance to keep everybody on the same page. And I wanted to get back to my question, Jessica, about some of the things people say after seeing a performance of the opera.
One of the things that people say to me is that why is the character named Figaro? Because they're used to Figaro, Figaro, Figaro. They're used to that. And so this is actually the second play in a trilogy of plays with the same characters. So a lot of people might recognize the name, but might be confused about the source of the name and where Figaro is from. So this is a continuation of The Barber of Seville, which was actually written after this was written. But that's where the theme Figaro, Figaro, Figaro is from. So Figaro, in the first play, helps the Count win Rosina's love. And as a testament of his love to Rosina, he gives up his
feudal right.
Which is the right to claim the servants on their wedding night. But in this opera, he regrets it. And that's the whole basis of the opera. So as Sarah was saying about the overture when the characters are introduced, that at the time this opera was written, people would have been familiar with the story and they would be familiar with the characters and they would kind of have a sense of the significance of the Count's going back on his word.
The stories were written down as stage plays originally?
Correct. Yep. It was Pierre Beaumarchais wrote it's called the Figaro Trilogy. Uh-huh. So the first one is The Barber of Seville, and then the second is The Marriage of Figaro, and the third play is The Guilty Mother.
Beaumarchais plays. And Trent, did you have something that came to mind when I asked the question about what people say after the opera?
Yes, actually, I've had several people come up to me after the productions and tell me where they first saw The Marriage of Figaro. And people who perhaps saw a production 30, 40, 50 years ago, and they love it. It is their favorite opera. And it is amazing to me how many people know this story, know this opera, love this opera, and want to come see it. And they've all been so encouraging. You know, I talked about our encouraging cast as cast members we are, but our audiences have been incredibly encouraging as well.
So interestingly enough, when I was still sort of lost on my path of music career, I was cast as a smaller role in this opera with Opera Grand Rapids when they last performed this in 2008, I believe. And that was the first time that I heard the whole opera, was when I was in rehearsal watching the other performers sing, and I experienced the Act 2 finale for the first time. And it was that moment that I decided I was going to continue working toward being an opera singer. And so this opera has a real significance for me personally, because it was after that moment that I just worked harder, and I continued and started dreaming of singing Susanna. Now here I am.
Well, that has led us to the ensemble pieces that are featured in this opera. I remember from that music history class that Mozart did some just incredibly brilliant things, bringing together all these characters, talking about all their problems at once in ensemble numbers. It is really one of the great highlights of music history, the way this happens. So before we go and hear a little segment of the Act 4 finale, let's go back around and hear your final thoughts on tonight's performance.
I just hope, if you're interested, that you'll make sure that you come down and come and see this and be part of a fun evening.
Is this the only Kalamazoo performance this season?
Yes, it's the only one in Kalamazoo.
Will there be future ones in close by in West Michigan?
The next one would be March 24 at Southwestern Michigan College. And then April 21st is at the Jennison Center of the Arts.
Last thoughts, Jessica?
If you've never seen an opera before, this is a wonderful first experience in opera. Mozart was the master of writing pop music, so the melodies are very accessible. The way that we've condensed the story into 2 hours makes it more easy to absorb for people who aren't used to committing 4 hours to a musical story in a foreign language. And I think that we have edited it in a way that it can be easily enjoyed by adults and children alike.
And let's hear from Trent.
I remember as a child growing up thinking that opera was boring and opera was stuffy, and I didn't want to have anything to do with that. I think many people who've not experienced it think that this story could come right off daytime television. It could be something that you see on one of those afternoon talk shows where they bring out the envelope and reveal the DNA evidence to find out who the father is. This is The Marriage of Figaro, and tonight at 7:30, you're going to experience something that is fabulous. So come enjoy this experience with us.
Well, Trent, Jessica, and Sarah, thank you so much for coming to WMUK to talk about it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.